You got your Bibles? Wave them at me. I like to see Bibles. Wave them. Thank God for that. It's good to be in church this morning. I got a message I'm building, brother. My brother just sung the song on that very thought, and I'm not preaching it this morning. Maybe I should have. But I'll get to that. Turn to Matthew chapter 21, please. Good to see Dr. Wayne and Dr. Ruby here. After a year, we've missed them. They're back with us today. But Dr. Harrison's going to be preaching today at the ordination. I'm so thankful for that. If you got your Bible, Matthew 21, how many there say amen? Good to see my friend Randy White here today. I've been praying for him and his loss and their family. God touch Brother Randy. We're praying God touch him. But I am going to talk to you not about what you just seen, but I want to take you at the start of the week. And I'm going to give you a scriptural message on this day they call Palm Sunday. Now, I want to say this to y'all. I hope I don't shake them up here, Chad. I've been studying the harmony of the Gospels quite thoroughly. And if you read all four of them, I haven't made up my mind that he wrote in on Sunday. He may have wrote in on Saturday. And I'll talk to y'all about that one of these days. But you can study it out. And you'll probably find out preacher may not be wrong. Hello. But I want to talk to you this morning about our Lord's triumphant entry. Jeremy, I'm excited. And I'm going to try to calm myself down because I'm going to shout a lot this morning. Now let's read these first 11 verses of chapter 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into a village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the Lord cometh unto thee, meek, and setteth upon an ass and a colt the foal of an ass. Disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put their clothes, and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed him in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee, our father. I ask for your power this morning. Dear God, help me preach like I've never preached before. Lord, strengthen my body. I'll be able to communicate properly. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Imagine Jesus spent 33 and a half years on this planet. He did not come to sightsee. He did not come for entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, he came for one reason, and that was to die for the sins of the world. He had been healing people. The deaf heard. The lame were able to walk. He took a lunch one day and broke it and fed 5,000 men. And most likely 20,000 people. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. And if you remember in the scripture, he said this more than once. Don't tell anybody. How many remember reading that in the Bible? Don't tell anybody. Because as soon as it was going to be broadcast, if they started broadcasting it, they would immediately would have betrayed him. And they would immediately took him to the cross. But he said, my time, my hour has not come yet. And now he sees him he just resurrected Lazarus. And now he's saying, you don't have to keep this secret anymore. You don't have to keep quiet anymore, because he had to keep quiet because his death had to line up with the Passover week. So somebody help me preach, because he is our Passover. And really what he was saying to his boys was, it's time. My hour has come. It is estimated. And I like the way they portrayed that crowd. There was 2 to 3 million people in Jerusalem. This time he was going to mount up on a colt. He was going to enter in with pomp, ceremony, and it's going to get loud, and it was going to get raucous, and he was going to come in as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They then would take him and crucify him, put him in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he will rise. Amen. He was going into the city to announce that I am Messiah. They were going to wave palm branches. And there was going to be jubilation and adoration. And here's what they were going to say. Boy, this is help. Boy, this helped me right here. They were going to say, Hosanna. Amen. How many of y'all know what Hosanna means? It means save us now. By the way, on this Palm Sunday weekend, can I tell you what this country needs, what our churches need, what every individual in this world needs? It's God to save us now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good, really what they were saying, you can save us because you are the Savior. You can heal us because you are the Messiah. We're glad you're here. We've been looking for you. Then they made this statement in verse number 9. I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. Blessed. That's what I'm preaching on. Is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That word blessed means we get our Greek word. And it says here, and I'm bad with Greek. I only know 2 Greeks, Tom and Jerry. Eugel. That's the Greek word. And if I don't harm you folks that study Greek, please don't come after me. But we get our word eulogy from that. What do we do at a eulogy? We speak well of somebody. We praise them. We tell of them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he was coming in. He is the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Rose of Sharon. Somebody help me preach. He is the God-man. He was so much man that when he went on to sea, he went to sleep. But then they woke him up, and he was able to say, "Peace, be still." He was so much man when he went to Lazarus' tomb, he wept. But then he said, "Lazarus, come forth." He was so glorious. He was so much man that at Jacob's well, he thirsted. Then he told a little woman, "He's so much God that the water I give thee, ye shall never thirst again." He was so much man that he would ride on a donkey, a colt. But one day, my friend, he's going to ride out of heaven on a white horse. And the good thing about it, we get a ride with him. I'm going somewhere. Y'all just stay with me. I'm trying to tell this story. Oh, well, listen to me, blood-washed crowd. I'm talking to one. How many believe spiritually we ought to take out some palm branches this morning? You know what? You've been made too quiet. Some of us need to get our palm branches out this morning. You say, "Why?" He's the one that wakes you up every morning. He's the one that supplies all your needs. He's our sustainer. He's our load bearer. He's the bread for the hungry, the water for the thirsty. He's all in all. He's El Shaddai. He's not Mohammed, not Buddha, not the Pope, not the priest, not a movie star, not a celebrity, not a rock star. He is Messiah. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And it's time. Lord, have mercy. I do my best. I'm trying to contain myself. But this kind of sermon is hard to contain yourself on that day. Let me give you 5-6 things. I don't mean we're going to be here all night. I just mean 5 or 6 things. Number one, in verse 1, I see the Lord's commission. He said, "It's time. It's time for me to be lifted up. And it's time for me to get up on a horse or on a colt of ass. It's not time to get on TikTok. Hey, young person, it's time for you to carry your Bible to school. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to stand for your witness of Christ. It's time." And we see a sending push. He said, "Go. Go. Go out. Go get me a colt that I can ride on it." I'm glad for the day that he went out to get an old wretched man like me. And he's riding on me all the time. Then I see a searching pursuit. Go out and search it out. I'm glad that I didn't go to him, but he came to me. Well, somebody help me preach because I'm about ready to get stirred up. Then I see a sure promise. Ye shall find. If you go out, you'll find. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the commission still is to go out. The commission is still to get everybody we can to come out and get saved. Somebody help me preach. I got to hurry. Number 2. Y'all like the story? I see a liberating conversion. I want you to go get him. Then here's what I want you to do after you get him. In verse number 2, you go loose him. He's tied up. Hey, by the way, one day we were tied up. We were in a stall. We were depraved in sin. I see a releasing authority. You said, what authority? The Lord. I want you to know something. I'm glad I got a God that can release the captain, that can save you from sin. I see a returning actuality. Bring him unto me. And I, by the way, so look at me. By the way, this is in all four Gospels. And in one of the Gospels, I got to show y'all this. In one of the Gospels, it says that this donkey actually, Chad, was in a way where two ways met. That's what it said. By the way, I was one day lost as I could be. Tied up in two ways. I could either go on the broad road of destruction and go to hell, or I could be loosed and set free and receive Christ as my Savior. Woo! I'm about to shout. I want to tell you, I was tied up by sin. But I'll tell you, my joy is not in baptism. My joy is not in emotionalism. My joy this morning, glory to God, my joy this morning is because He loosed me. I'm set free. Somebody help me preach right there. If the Son sets you free, ye are free indeed. Woo! Dear Lord. It's getting better. It's going to get a little better, a little juicier here in a minute. Whew. Then verse 3, I see a legitimate cause. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. What he was doing, he was telling them that there may be an anticipated dissenter along the way. Somebody help me preach. And if you study all four of these accounts, actually there were some people that started questioning, why do you want them? And who are you taking it to anyhow? Somebody help me preach right here. I see an absolute deity. I see an awesome desire. He wanted that coat. Somebody help me preach here. Not for resale. But the Holy God wanted that coat to ride on. The devil says, who gave you the right? And I tell you, he's not using donkeys anymore. Somebody help me. He's using men and women and boys and girls. You were lost in your sin. You were lost in ungodliness, but you were set free. And ain't nothing can stop you now. And when people start saying to you, oh, I remember what you used to be. And the devil starts reminding you your past. You know what you need to do? Remind him of his future. Somebody ought to say amen. Woo! Then I want you to, am I doing all right? How many's getting the story? Then I see a linked connection in verse 4. A linked connection. You say, why is he doing this anyhow? Because he's going to fulfill Scripture. You say, what is it connected to, Zechariah 9:9? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the the foal of an ass. That was 500 years before Christ. You're going to rejoice one day. I'd have loved to be that donkey. But can I tell you something? I am. Because he uses me to preach his word. That was a foretold promise and a fulfilled promise. Somebody help me preach right there. That tells me his word will not return unto him void. That by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works as any man should boast. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. To many as received him gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Am I doing all right? I better stop a second. I ain't arguing with you. I'm not even going to debate with you bunch of liberals. I hope y'all ain't. But this is his word. That was a foretold word and a fulfilled word. And you start reading the prophecies of Christ in the Bible. All of them that... all of them that were said about him. I want you to know something. Boy, I'm about ready to get loose again. If you only take eight, only eight of them. Y'all know prophecy and fulfillment, like I say. It's going to rain today at 8 o'clock tonight. Okay? 50-50. But oh man. It's going to rain today at 8, but quit at 8:15. And on, and on, and on. And the likelihood of those prophecies will be fulfilled is like over the whole state of Texas, putting a foot deep of silver dollars, and you find one. Yet, he fulfilled them all.
Amen.
To a letter.
Amen.
And the Bible we preach this morning is the very word of God. It is inspired. It is infallible. It is inerrant. It is God's holy word. It's not my suggestion, not what I think. It is God's word. Look at my man. Look at verse 7. Y'all still with me? How many of y'all with me? Still alive? A couple of you ain't raising your hands, so you must have died a while ago. Verse 7. And they brought the ass and the colt and put them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Now I see number 5. The lifted Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this quietly. It's real important to know who's on top. It's real important to know who's in charge. I see an exclusive person, the King. I see an exalted position, the King lifted up. I might say to you, we don't lift up Jesus to make him king. We lift up Jesus because he's king.
Amen.
We don't lift up Jesus to make him good. We lift up Jesus because he is good. We don't lift up Jesus because he's the only way. To make him the only way, we lift up Jesus because he is the only way. Somebody help me preach. My Savior, my Lord, my Master. He's in charge. He's in need of him. Then, you got my permission to get up and run right here. I see an effective power. Now, it's not in this passage, Wayne, but it's in Mark. And I read this. And I want y'all to know what I've done. First time I read it, I went, whoop. Second time I read it, I went, whoop. Third time, whoop. Here's what I read in the book of Mark and Luke. This donkey, this colt, had never been ridden before. Actually, this beast was to carry heavy loads. You know what Jesus was asking for? I want you to go out and get me an untrained wild donkey. Y'all didn't get that. Lord God, have mercy. Where y'all at? Y'all wait. Go out and get me an unridden, untrained, wild donkey. That's a buck donkey. You'll get just a minute when I get there. I don't care how wild and crazy he is. I don't care if he tried AA, Catholicism, Calvinism, contemporary movement. I don't care how messed up he is. I don't care if he's an old drunk. I don't care if he's an old dope addict. I don't care how wretched he's seen is. He may have never been ridden, but when the Master, when the Lord gets a hold of him, he'll ride. He'll ride. He'll ride. January 31st, 1973, he saved me. He washed me in his blood. And he said, I think I'm going to mount him. He's wild. He's crazy. He's a drunk. He's a mess. But I'm thankful that it didn't take but one little lesson, and I was trained, I was right, I was converted, I was saved, I was blood washed. You might think ain't nothing can fix you, but I got a God that can fix any problem you got. You might say, ain't nothing can tame you. But I got a God. All he's got to do is get up on top. Did I say it? Get up on top. See, that's what we need. We need him on top. We need him as boss. We need him in charge. Not the preacher. Not a group of deacons. Not some bunch of elder board. No, we need him on top. You know who we need on top? We need him that is preeminent. That is the, well, glory. Oh, there's a day. I'm so wild. I'm so lost. My mama even gave up on me. She said, you are fit for a chain gang. John David, you are meaner than a junkyard dog. I don't even know if you'll ever get straightened up. I never forget that night I came into her house on January the 31st, 1973. I walked in there and I didn't say nothing. My mama looked at me and said, boy, what's going on? What happened to you? Now, I didn't say this to her then. But I'll say it to her up in heaven now. I just got ridden by Jesus. Woo! And my daddy, I said, Daddy, I got saved. He looked at me and said, "Here's it. My dad was lost now. I worked for him. I peddled ball tickets. He said, where's your ball tickets? And I cried, Lois, I threw them down. Went in my bedroom. He had opened them up, came back here in my bedroom, said, you won $1,000. I get five and you get five. I said, you don't understand, do you, Dad? I don't want that anymore. I don't need that anymore. I'm saved. And a big old tear come down his face. And then in my first church, about a year later, that man was sitting back there. He was wild. A bartender on his way to hell. And he got up out of his seat, looked like he was walking to the back door, circled the place, came up here around the altar and said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." I want you to know, he can ride whosoever will. He can save anybody, anytime, anywhere. Lord have mercy. I got to hurry. Then in verse 9, man, I'm about to hurry. And the multitude that went before and that followed, listen to this, cried, "Hosanna!" Whew. I see a low or a loud cry. An adoring chant. Some of you say, "Well, that's not a shouting type." Well, your wife told me you shouted her. And when your bracket got bursted this last week or two, you shouted at the TV. Somebody help me preach. We shout about everything. I want to tell you what, it's time for us to say, "Hosanna, save us now." I see knowledge and conviction. Who is this? It's Jesus of Nazareth. I seen an aggravating crowd. You know what that crowd done? They told Jesus, "Go rebuke your disciples." And you know what he said to them? You know what he said to them, Jeff? "If I shut them up, the rocks will start shouting. And the trees will start shouting. And everybody will start shouting. I'm not supposed to carry on like this." Somebody help me. You know what? It ain't enough for you to kind of show your salvation once in a while. It ain't bad for you to just get loud once in a while. It ain't bad to raise up a holy hand and shout glory from where he brought you from. It ain't so bad to tell the whole world that he died for you. I'll tell you what's happened to us. Because the charismatics and the contemporary does it wrong, I think it means that we're supposed to shut up. We need to shout it out. I'm done. I see the lone conclusion in verse number 11. And the multitude say, "Where is my water? Y'all's fired." And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." I see established persuasion. I want you to know something. You can't talk me out of what happened to me. I see an inactive plan. It's time to get crucified. It's time for me to die. It's time for me to shed my blood. And I say exposed personality. See, he's real. I tell you what God doesn't want and Jesus doesn't want. He don't want a bunch of fakes. Is he real in your life? I mean, please don't tell me, "Well, I'm a member." That's good, you're a member. But people are lost in that's members. No. Have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ? Somebody help me preach. Do you know him? Are you proclaiming him? Can you shout out, "Hosanna! Save us now! God, this country needs to save now! Our community needs saved now! Our state needs saved now. And there may be people in this room that need saved now." He rode in that day with glory. But by the middle of the week, the glory turned into anger and wrath. And on Wednesday, I'll say it, Chad, I ain't afraid to say it. on Wednesday, about 9 in the morning, they put him on a cross. And 3 in the afternoon, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I commend my spirit to you. And they took him down, not on Good Friday. Now, if you read one of the scriptures, it was a high Sabbath. He died on the high Sabbath. They had to take him down before the institution of the high Sabbath. Then on Sunday morning, he came up out of the grave. He's alive this morning. And it all started on that Palm Sunday weekend when he came into the city to die for you. Bow your head with me. How many right now say, Preacher Smith? I got doubts a lot about a lot of things, but I died today. I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Slip your hand up and hold it high, but don't lift it if you don't know. Hold them high. Glory. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you, honest, couldn't raise your hand? But you must believe that he had love and grace for you. How many right now say, I know I'm not saved, but before I die, before he comes, I want to be saved. And I'd like for you to pray for me. Don't trust your church membership. Trust Christ. How many slip up your hand and say, I don't know for sure, but I need to know. Slip it up. So come on, slip it up. I see that hand. Somebody else? Slip it up. I don't know. I like to think I am, but I'm sure not sure. Slip it up. Preacher, I need to be saved. I've been religious all my life. I've been a moral person, but really, I'm sitting here and I'm not sure I'd die and go to heaven. If that's you, raise your hand right now and say, pray for me. Don't matter how religious you've been in your life and how moral you've been in your life, if you don't trust Christ and receive him this morning, you'll die and go to hell. Somebody else, raise your hand and say, pray for me. How many's here and said, Preacher, I'm saved. But I won't lie to you, I'm backslidden. I'm away from God. I'm carnal. And I need to come back to God. And I want you to pray for me. Bless that hand. Come on. Stand with me. If you're here and you need Christ, come on. Stand with me. Our Father, thank you for this good, good morning. Thank you for this great event on this Passover weekend, where our Lord entered into Jerusalem with pomp, ceremony, because he is worthy to be praised. God help us now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.